Blog Talk Radio.
I am safe and I'm not perfect. Lord knows I struggle every day. Thank heaven my gracious God forgave me. He gave his life to guide my way. Before I gave my life to Jesus, all my choices weren't that tough. I only did the things I wanted to do. No Holy Spirit to say enough. I am saved, but I'm not perfect. But I know someone who is. I am saved, but I'm not perfect by any means. Not at all. Perfect. No, 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 I'm not perfect. Even though I am a Christian, I don't lead a perfect life. When I strive to be like Jesus, I feel I'm walking. I'm not perfect. No, 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 I'm not perfect. The journey's hard to be a believer. It's a long, hard road to go. If I only put my trust in him, I know the blessing's mine.
Goodness, is that not true? This is Les Paul Morgan. Happy to see you. Haven't been here in a while. Whoo, what a hard day's night it's been around here in Beatles land. Since I said hard day's night, I had to say Beatles land. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Dreamcatcher's Empowerment Zone. Woo! And I wish I felt that empowered right now. I need some empowerment myself. Give me a lift up, everybody. Well, you know, sometimes life just tosses things at you. Even coming to tonight's show, I had difficulty. I had created a show. I was even talking with Kim about it. I had some problems earlier. And I go to create it, and it was held up by different problems, one thing after another. But are you going to let your problems become your number one enemy and defeat you? Are you going to keep trying and fighting for good, for change, for systems change, to see the people who are survivors become survivors first? I really mean that. The title of tonight's show is Survivors First, exclamation point. And what do you think when I say survivors first? What does it make you think of? Well, I'll tell you a little bit what I've been going through. My birthday is coming up very soon, and I might talk about that later. Might not. Who knows? And I've been through a lot of crazy stuff lately with health problems and back surgeries and all kinds of things. And, you know, Kim knows me well. A lot of people here have known me. If you don't know me, I'm a brain aneurysm survivor, brain injury survivor, coma survivor, all kinds of different rare neurosurgeries and crazy things, that a craniotomy, all kinds of things like that, that I wasn't expected to live through many moons ago, but I did. If you can look at your life and look in the mirror and have a negative thought go through your mind when you see yourself, give yourself a moment and rethink how you look at yourself. I've had to do that myself many, many times, because I have had negative thoughts and negative look at myself sometimes in the past especially, but even sometimes when hard times are hitting, like, Les, why didn't you do this? Les, you just don't know how to do this. Why don't you quit trying? Well, that's that negative self-talk we all teach ourselves that gets so bad that it starts becoming the prevailing winds. It becomes a strong embodiment of not success, but loss and failure. And people like to home in on that when they hear you're a failure. And then so you'll have a whole group saying, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that. Don't try. No, don't try. You know, you've had all these surgeries. No, you won't do it. These are things that really happened to me and many people I've known. And survivors first, man, what I mean, I'm going to say it, I'm going to boldly say it, associations, other agencies, not all of them, because some are very good agencies and places that help people with disabilities, but that's small and far in between. There are agencies I know of, and they personally know me, and they know they're not good, and they know they've done people wrong, and they know they've hurt many people, and they know they've grown by success of them and by not by the people they serve. And they've harmed many people. And they've caused people to go backwards in time rather than go forward. And many of them are disability agencies. Sadly, I know them because I was part of them in the early days before I worked in an ADA center, which is a disability rights center. That's a good center. You know, It's about equal rights. It's about civil rights. It's about your rights. It's not about, it makes me mad when I think about it. We are survivors first, not a disability. I want everybody to say that out loud. It feels like saying, I'm a survivor first. I'm not a disability, even though I may have one and you may have one, may have multiple. You look at yourself as a human being, as the person you want to be. And I had to rethink my whole life over the past, man, many years of recovering multiple times from all these aneurysms and brain injuries and surgeries that I've had. And I've learned a lesson that the world out there, there's good people, there's bad people, and there's just downright evil, nasty, mean people out there that will twist words and say bad things and cause you to go downhill while they're getting a pay raise, while they're working to move on up. And I've met many people like that over the years. I've also met some amazing, wonderful, outstanding people that would move mountains just to try to help someone. And they're agency employees too. So you can't just pick on one place, but sometimes I think in my head, you know, all these years of me living with a disability, which has been a long, long time, decades, many decades, since 1984, when I first had a brain aneurysm, I've had my first brain aneurysm, then a second one, and then several other operations in between, and there was even one between the two aneurysms where I had a leakage in my brain and spinal fluid leaked out of my head. And all these agencies would look at me like, oh, what do we do? I'd watch them meticulously keep their lawn. I'd watch them mow that grass to a T at this building, kept the flag standing tall, carrying computers in and out, walking in and out. Hi, how may I help you? What is your name? My name is Mr. Morgan. How are you doing? After I finally relearned how to speak, after years had passed of a lot of pain where I didn't know what I'd be able to do, but I didn't expect the agencies that were there supposedly to help me to actually say, Mr. Morgan, go home. What are you doing here? Your disability is too severe. And I pick up a folder full of papers with looks like 100 pages and says, this says you're not qualified to work anywhere. Go home. I'm going, am I dressed like a bum? Am I off the street or something? I came in here dressed up, and I was struggling to talk. I wasn't speaking as clear as I am now. I wasn't as sure of myself by being more independent. And by the way, you don't have to work at a Center for Independent Living to feel your independence, your roots, your growth, your energy system. And yes, I have bad days where I'm like, oh, man, I can barely get up. And it's hard to even function some days. Today was one of them. I got a big old hole in my back where they operated on me just a day and a half ago. And that took a lot of energy out of me. It actually took Kim helping me to get on here today because I had trouble logging in because I was coming in so late because of all the things that have been going on. But I'm going to just read what I typed up. We're survivors first, not a disability. For so long, we have often, and think about often, been put last. Think about that, put last. While the professionals are the leaders, are the people who work there, who earn the money from us. Think about it. They earn money from us. If all the disabled people on the earth disappeared right now, where would all these disability organizations go? They'd go broke. They wouldn't have anybody to work for. You know, they go to college to work on us. They go to school to do medical work on us, and many learn wonderful, amazing talents. But how many places hire the person with the disability seeing their struggles or think that they might one day, you know, I just think I should hire a person with a disability. You know, they want to hire people from all over the world to fill jobs here in America. And that's a good thing when it's possible, as long as they're Americans getting the jobs too. How about Americans with disabilities? Americans with disabilities first? Something like that? Kind of cutting up saying that. But, you know, people literally climb the corporate ladder, and I'm going to say it, on our backs. Literally on our backs. I've had people argue with me and say, Mr. Morgan, go home. You're not capable of doing this. As I hear the person got a pay raise, and congratulations on your new job title, and congratulations, and that same person is denying me access. That same person is denying me an opportunity, and I'm standing there looking out like I'm looking out at the universe and going, oh, my God, they can't see me. I'm invisible to them. So they're running the association or the agency or whatever it is called in our names for them. I've been disheartened lately with some of the associations. I see very few support groups on there. Here on the Brain Injury Radio Network, we're survivor-led and survivor-empowered. We are the people who live with the disability. We're the people who live to struggle to relearn to talk and volunteer on these shows. It matters. And a lot of the associations right now, I don't care if they get mad at me. I've been kind of mad at them lately because I haven't seen anything done by them. I haven't seen the progress that we should have seen. We should have gotten better than this, than where we are today in the year, the future, 2022. I remember when the year, there used to be, what was the show? They'd go, in the year 2000, in the year 2000. I remember that really good. It was on a television show, a late night show. And I was thinking, wow, 2000, that's going to be so futuristic and dreamy and beyond my imagination. Like, wow, the world's going to be different. It's going to be better. And then 2001 came. Did I miss the boat? Maybe my memory failed me and I forgot. Maybe it's really 1999. It's fixing to turn. No, it's 2007, Les. I could have sworn it's still 1770 or 1450 because people with disabilities are still being abused across the nation. We've learned how to do a lot of things better. We've learned how to cover a lot of things much better in America. There are a lot of specialist doctors. There are a lot of that are excellent. There are a lot of people that go to different centers, and it's like amazing for them. But for a lot of people with disabilities living in poverty, living below poverty income, struggling just to make it through halfway through the month, wondering where their money's coming from, it's hard. And while people are making fun of them as they're trying to figure out how they're going to come up with the rest of the money, then someone says, well, you don't belong here. That still exists today. And I work as a person, I work as an advocate for people with disabilities at Walton Options for Independent Living. We teach awareness about this so people are more aware. There are still people being treated badly right now. I met some people the other day that I wanted to weep when I heard what I was told about how the wages are still horrible for people in sheltered workshops. And how people treat them horrible. It's deplorable. And yet you never see it on the news. You don't hear it as a breaking news story. Breaking news story, sheltered workshop, blah, 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 you know, whatever. And it's time for us, the survivors, to make the difference. And not just be brain injury survivors doing it either. I think we need to collaborate and communicate with other systems, still have brain injury radio, still have brain injury survivors, everything working together and doing it just like we are, but also collaborating on big things like contacting our government officials and our senators and our legislators and going to community awareness meetings, going and talking to people who have a voice that's bigger than ours because they're working in government. But sometimes I've listened to some of these people and I wouldn't want to talk to them because I got really mad at one because he really spoke crazy about some of the things they were talking about on disability legislation, and I let him have it. I really did. I went to Advocacy Day in Georgia with a group of blind people just recently. We went all the way to we went to Atlanta, Georgia, for Advocacy Day just a few weeks ago. And it was amazing. You might not know this, but people who are visually impaired have better benefits because, not because nobody advocated, but because they advocated harder than anybody else. And it's not something to say, well, why do they get more? No, they advocated. They did. They fought for their rights, and they won. And people with brain injury far outnumber other disabilities, and yet we're struggling to get that awareness out there. We get the awareness out there, but it feels like nobody's listening sometimes, but we are listening. People are listening. I really feel that we need to make all the agencies aware of all the people with disabilities who need jobs and start asking for, where's my place at the table? Where's my employment? If you want a job, you might not feel like working. I'm not saying everybody feels good enough to go to work. Sometimes I don't feel like going to work, but I've still been going for many years. But for whatever you want to do or volunteer at, inclusion for everyone. You know, where I was saying a while ago, I didn't finish the other part. It says a lot of money has been spent making a very long, A lot of money has been spent and made over a very long time. If nothing ever went to us, but nothing went to us, the survivors. There are many agencies that raised millions and millions of dollars. It was found out later that none of it went to disability survivors. Well, it mainly to the top end of the companies. And it's wrong to do that way. There are some companies, and I'm not going to name names on them, because one company was paying 10 cents on the dollar for every fundraising dollar they received. Others have actually paid less for people with disabilities or people in emergency situations. And we need to hold people accountable. We need to study the organization and support other ones. We need to find ones we support. The reason I support independent living is not because I work there. It's not at all. It's because it's a national calling for people across America to come together there. And, you know, we need to come together all across America and work. And I'm sorry, I see we've got the 402 on here, and I'm just going to open up and say hello. Hello there. I don't know if you wanted to
hello.
Say anything or not.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt
you. How are
you
doing?
Good.
That's okay. I forgot I had you on the phone. I didn't know if you wanted to talk or not. But it's really bothered me a lot. And this is Kim Justice. It's really bothered me a lot because what I typed up is what I was just feeling. I was raw emotion, thinking all these years, and yeah, I'll go ahead and tell at midnight I'll be celebrating my 60th birthday. I can't believe it. It seemed like it was years ago, like 2 years ago when I was 22, when I had my brain aneurysm. It seems like 2 years ago when I think about it for real.
60, you're entering, you're catching up with me.
I'm entering the old age zone. Now I'm playing. You're not old. You're younger than me.
Six
mentally.
No, I'm
else.
Not. I'm just a tiny bit older than you. Our birthdays are within a proximity of each other, but I'm a little bit older. Like with Gary, must be between us. Let's see. He must be 61.
Okay. Well. Just keep
well,
on
happy
keeping
birthday.
On is what I say.
Do
you
have
you.
A plan for it?
The usual plan is like take. You know what I did last year? Megan's not here right now. Last year I said, okay, I'm going to celebrate you on my birthday. And she said, what? I thought she was going to fall on the floor. I said, I want to celebrate my birthday with you and celebrate you going through all you went through, because she was struggling from a lot of things she went through with her disability. And so as part of it, she said, Les, nobody's ever done anything like that. And I said, I just wanted to show you I wanted to do something different. But then she took me out to dinner. People at work last year, they all fixed me a cake and celebrated my birthday. It was real nice. And so I'm assuming if anybody remembers me, pull it a West Paul. At this place. poor old West Paul. The one thing I'm still shocked that I've still got a head of hair after having all those crazy surgeries. And you cannot even look at my hair and see it unless you look real close. There's no holes or anything, and there should be with the holes in my head.
You can feel them, though.
Yeah. If I put my
I can feel them, but
here.
My hair is... I'm sorry. My hair is covering them, but I can sure feel them to the touch. You know what I mean? The
yeah,
dentin.
Me too, yeah.
If we were
exactly.
bald, it would not be pretty.
We'd be two odd cone heads.
Yes,
cone heads
we would.
Saturday Night Live. Well, I put these as my topics. Houston, we've got a problem. And
I
the
wanted
problem
to say something about...
Go
I'm
ahead.
Sorry. Well, it was about something you said before already. I was going to comment on it. I just didn't want to interrupt you, so I was letting you go on. But before you got too far away from it and we both forgot, you were talking about agencies.
Yeah.
And you weren't going to name any names, and I guess I won't, but...
I want to. I really want to.
Well, one thing I find interesting, and I've been playing this on my song lately, and I should have logged in with you and maybe played it, but I can just say that, you know, there's one of us, a brain injury survivor, and I think you probably know who she is, but Christabel Braden. And
yes.
There's a song that I play on my show, and you alluded to it earlier, not
like
being
her.
Defined by your injury. And the name of that song is, hang on, I got to focus for just 1 second, More to Me.
That's okay.
More to Me is the name of the song, and what it's about is more to me than my brain injury. And the way we can
mm-hmm.
actually tell almost exactly what Christabel's, the name of her her song is that, you know, at the beginning of the month, because this is Brain Injury Awareness Month, I went to the Brain Injury Association website. Much to my surprise, their quote-unquote campaign for 2022's Awareness Month is, are you able to look at your internet while you're on the phone? I don't want you to lose the show.
Yeah, I've got a laptop.
If you look up BIAA.org, right, isn't that their thing?
Mm-hmm.
You'll see right on the front page, and it's a slogan for their campaign for 2022. And if you can find it, tell me what it says. But my impression when I did that for one of my shows, we actually did a kickoff show the last, Simon and I, the last Wednesday of February going into March, and then all my shows have been and will be about different aspects of brain injury awareness. But on that night, I opened it up to get the usual stats, which is one thing that the associations and alliances are good for, is when you need the stats once a year, you can flip to the page and, you know, give people the stats on things. But I saw their slogan for this year, and it mirrors Christabel Braden's song, which is many years old. And I remember thinking at the time, I wonder if they did a collaborative effort with her or got her permission to use that.
I think they did, probably. Yeah.
No, they did not. I wrote to her today.
Oh, they didn't? Okay.
Well, let me say this. She answered me.
Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
I wrote to her a few nights ago, and it wasn't about that. It was about tomorrow on my show, I have two guests. One was only going to be able to stay an hour, so I was looking for someone to come in the back hour, and I had reached out to Christabel because I know that she's been recording a new release in Tennessee, and I think it comes out next week, and so I thought it might be good timing if she wanted to come on the second half of my show. She could plug her new album or whatever coming out, her new release. And she didn't answer me right away. It turned out turned out she was on vacation, and I found a different guest that's more fitting, maybe,
mm-hmm.
to be back-to-back with the first guest for the evening tomorrow night. But anyway, Christabel wrote me, and then in asking her that in the email, because she's been a guest on my show before, but it's been a lot of years, so I had her in my email. And then I said, P.S., did you happen to give permission to, or are you working with them? I couldn't help but notice, you know, almost the exact verbiage from your song I've been playing for years.
You talk about this.
Well, the only reason I'm doing it is she said no, they did not ask for permission, and no, she's not working with them. But she said, I don't mind as long as the word is getting out there. And I said, you're much kinder than me, because they have a lot of money and had invested a ton of money in that campaign before, you know, whenever they came up with the idea, way before Brain Injury Awareness Month, they came up with the campaign and already had a ton of money sunk into doing it. So they wouldn't have wanted to pull it at the last minute. And if you just found out about it and you were her and you wanted to seek compensation for using that, I think you'd have a pretty strong case to be able to do it copyright-wise. Her song's been out forever. You know, we can say I'm not defined by my injury, or my injury isn't all of me, but pretty much, and I could be wrong, and if I am, I apologize, but I don't think I am because of the answer that she gave me. You know, she knew it too, you know, or she wouldn't
have said,
it is a little different. She didn't say that at all. She just said, no, they weren't working together. No, they hadn't asked permission. And like I said, when I glanced at it weeks ago and saw it, their campaign, I've played Christabel's song for years now, There's More to Me, and it's on YouTube. So, I mean, there's copyright all over the place. That's many years.
Wow,
that
I'm
one
glad
of the first songs
that.
Of hers
wow.
I've heard. And so, you know, again, she's got a judicious attitude about, like I said, she's more generous than I am.
She's a very sweet lady. I met her in Columbia when she came there and performed. And she's awesome.
Well, I'm a sweet lady, too, but I really get sick of people taking advantage.
Exactly. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what I'm talking about. They're taking advantage of a brain injury survivor and her music, her livelihood.
I know. That's why I wanted to interrupt you a minute when you were talking. You were talking about this, and I had a fresh example of it. So, yeah, you know, things like that. I mean, fortunately, you know, she has, you know, has her music and has done well with her music. So it's not like she's completely unemployed, but I don't know what her financial situation is like. But if you were anyone else, first of all, an organization probably would have asked your opinion if they thought you had the wherewithal to sue them for copyright infringement.
And the very kindest thing would have done is just ask permission first, you know, not even think about just tossing it on there.
Exactly, because as she said, you know, in her email, and maybe she'll rethink it when I said what I said, but I don't think so. You know, she just said it's okay as long as the word's getting out. Well, you know, the word's getting out, for example, when I play her song for free after having asked her permission years ago. You know, may I play your song on my show? And I'm not making anything, okay, for playing it. I'm hoping to help support her. So But see, that's the other thing. If they would have even had the courtesy to ask permission, just out of kindness, the right thing to do,
yeah.
She would have told them, yeah. But the even nicer thing would have been, you know, could I have your permission? And then crediting her to maybe help her get a few more sales, you know, for herself.
Yeah.
How much do you reckon the chairman of the board, president, and the top four members of the board make?
Well, I'm going to tell you something related to what you just said that I asked a question of at a brain injury conference. There are all these smart people around, and some of them are great doctors. I know some of them. They're wonderful, and they've helped save lives for brain injury survivors. But after that, there's not much of a safety net designed correctly to help people reintegrate back into the community and then find a job or find out whatever they need to go through life. And those are the people that become homeless or become addicts and things like that. You know all about it. You've had some of them as guests, people that talked about that. Well,
yeah.
I asked that question when I was at the Brain Injury Association in South Carolina a couple of years ago, and she said, you know, we're for professionals. The Brain Injury Association, to help professional people learn how to work on brain injury. We're not as much as for helping the person with the brain injury. I said, what? I've been an advocate for years, volunteering for you. What are you talking about? And it made a lot of people mad at me. And I just stood there and let them surround me. I didn't care. And I'm
out of survivors who are mad at you, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Because you're right, you also can't really find support groups. And if you're somebody who's recently had a brain injury and you don't know where to turn and you haven't heard about us yet and your doctor can't offer you anything and there's no support group in your area and you don't know about independent living yet, you're Googling, you know, one of the first things that's going to come up in big fat bold letters is
exactly
a few organizations, associations or alliances that are related, and they...
It's like a ragtag bunch of little bits and bunches of people.
I mean, you call them as a survivor and ask what resources you have to help me, making the assumption, since they're using the tag of what we are survivors of as a business, that they might have something to help us. And
yeah,
surprise, surprise, when you're the new survivor who calls and gets an answer like the one that you got, for example, from any alliance or organization, because, you know, once a year, there's a, you know, walk where you can buy a scratchy T-shirt, you know, or have a bumper sticker or one of those damn green bracelets or ribbons or whatever. And the rest of the time, you don't really hear. And then you ask, like, where does that money go, you know, that you raise at those once a year things? And then you look at the salaries.
Yeah.
And
exactly. Where does
and I
the
don't
money
wanna,
go?
You know, I won't go on much further about it because, you know, I noticed on the board of directors of one of these organizations I was talking about is a TBI lawyer on the board of directors that has been a guest on my show before. And like I said, if I'm wrong and 99% of the people who hear the song and look at that page don't have the same impression that I had, then I apologize. But it was just my impression when I looked at it to read the statistics, which are most helpful to kick off Awareness Month. And I don't even remember, and it could be because of my brain injury, them even really having a theme before, you know. I mean, I thought it was just Brain Injury Awareness Month. I never really remember them having a tag for it or a special theme, you know, for it.
I don't.
And
know.
Maybe
if there is, I don't
I just
know
didn't notice it or something, but I noticed it this time because I've played a song like that so many times. I've been here, you know, you and I have been here over 11 years, you know, and whenever that song came out, it had just come out of hers, is when mm-hmm. I got a hold of her and asked permission to play it on my show. And so, you know, I've played it off and on my show for however long it's been out. So in any case, there's one member of the board right there that we know probably does very well for themselves, and that's not even near the first, second, or third chair, you know, the chairman of the board, the
yeah.
president, or the vice president. That's just another board member. So anyway, not looking to get in any trouble, but it was the first thing I thought of because it was recent when you were talking about organizations that take advantage or don't do right by, and you know, I mean, I've even heard it, and I won't make this, I'll make this real brief. I even hear this in politics, that the reason certain things are going on is that Americans won't work for the wages. And you yeah. know, whether that's true or the truth is that the wealthy don't want to pay wages,
exactly.
that the job is worth to American employees because the prices ain't going down. Inflation is happening.
Man,
all of us
inflation's
are threatened
crazy.
Right now financially, you know. And so if Americans were doing those jobs and those businesses where those top people are making a frickin' fortune, made just a little bit less, you know, instead of $5 million a year, you know, maybe they make $3 million a year and they pay American employees a decent wage.
Exactly.
Did
you know,
then that's
did you
supporting
know that wages,
our country.
You know, the wage increases people on Social Security and SSI got have already gone below in terms of the increase of everything costing more below what it was last year. So even though we got I forgot the percentage of the raise that people in Social Security and SSI got this year, or when we started, they said that it's already should have been raised. Yeah, inflation's just eating it all up. It's like we didn't even get a pay raise. It's like a pay cut.
I was
and this
say,
early in
it's
the
more
year,
like a pay cut. Yeah, a pay cut.
Yeah.
And so really, big business shouldn't be allowed to do that, and big nonprofits shouldn't take advantage.
Well,
you know. But anyway,
the reason
I thought it was a good
the
point.
Reason I can't. I didn't mean to interrupt you that much. Go ahead.
Mm-mm.
Oh
no, just
oh, okay.
In the vein of survivors first. It is Awareness Month, and that's a very important thing to be aware of, is that those who do go out and try to work like you, and I happen to volunteer, you know, doing what I've been doing, but I've been doing it a really
mm-hmm.
long time and doing a really good job. If I was a place that you get paid, you know, for doing this kind of thing, I just feel like there, you know, I always thought that if people worked hard, and when I, before my brain injury and my career, it was a commission-based sales position, and
mm-hmm.
what I made was dependent on the amount of effort I put in. If I didn't want to work, I could screw off and do whatever I wanted to do. There was no one there to fire me or micromanage me. I just didn't make any money. I was responsible for my income by the amount of effort I put in. So if I wanted to pay for the kind of cars I like to drive and a roof over my head and all that stuff, then I had to work hard enough to be
you
able
work
to
really
do that.
Hard and He had a hard work ethic.
Well, and that was up, you know, that was up to me, but I don't like these excuses I'm hearing for violations of federal law about employment in certain fields, just declaring that no Americans will work for that. Well, there's a lot of unemployed Americans right now, you know, after the pandemic and all that, that are looking for jobs. And if they were getting paid the same as what they were getting paid, you know, let's say at a restaurant, because they got hit hard in small retail shops, you know, the Walmarts didn't get hurt, the big box stores,
yeah,
the things that, as far as I'm concerned, trash up our country, to see them sitting all over the place.
Everywhere.
You know, the mom and pop drug, I mean, and dollar store, you know, we're turning ourselves into looking like, I don't even want to say, but
they're everywhere, yeah.
You know, the mom and pop shops, the family restaurants, you know, the things like that. You know, I don't think that wait staff really make a fortune. You know, they get their tips and things, but I would think that people that work in factories could get paid a wage that would allow them to be able to put food on the table, you know, and a roof over their head. The other people who are working cheaper in the scenario that we keep seeing on the news, they still got to live somewhere and eat. How are they doing it? There's not some American who wouldn't be willing to do that, who's homeless right now.
Come on, tell it, sister. I agree with you 100% on that. And there's millions of people. That's why I say there's got to be millions of people with disabilities, that not necessarily you, but ones who, like me, who were just at that time too young to just give up on life and surrender. And I'll give you an example. Today we went to school and taught the Career Boost class that I tell you about, we teach in school.
Yeah.
And I was looking around, and I'm not able to say too much because these are all students. But what I noticed is everybody had a sad face, and some were mad and, like, almost about to fight. And I walked in, and I said, you know, my back is killing me. It hurt really bad this morning. And I fought to get in, and they don't realize how good life is. And when they get out of school, they're going to see that life was a lot easier than they thought when they were in school, when they had teachers there that, whether it's a good one or not, that was at least there to help them some of the time. And you get out on your own, you're on your own. I said, listen, guys and girls, I said, you know, I'm not complaining about myself today, but I'm going to bring something visual that you can't see. And they're looking at me like they're like, I don't even want to talk to you. I said, first of all, be kind to each other. You know, you can look at things positive or negative. I choose to be positive today. I choose to be positive because I have a lot of negatives going on right now. I'm having a lot of pain in my back. What do you mean? One guy that likes me in the class, he says, what do you mean? I said, well, I could come in all like you guys and all, man, my back's killing me. I don't want to be here. Get away from me. Like that. One said, oh, that's how I feel. And I said, well, turn it upside down. Put your positives, turn your negatives into your positives. And I kept saying that to them. I said, when you think negative, think positive. Your student friend right here, talk to them. I want to talk to them. Then how about them talk to you? And I got them all talking. I couldn't believe it. I thought there was going to be a fight, and they were so mad when I came in there. And I did it because you could feel it in the air, and that's kind of how society is. Not to talk bad about students. They're actually good students. They're just all having a bad time that when I went there today. And I think about society that way in general. Everybody seems, you're against me, I'm against you, and it's like they go to war instead of working together. And, you know, what was the word I said that got you thinking about all that? I didn't mean to stop you from talking about it anymore. I was just, you know, I started to say, I was going to say, you've already covered number one. That was Houston. We've got a problem. That's everything you just talked about. You know, that's
well, it was
something
your
from
theme.
NASA.
Your theme and the taking advantage, you know, people with disabilities or otherwise, and I like your point about that too, because you're right, that microcosm and class, it's like, this is maybe a lame off the top of my head example, but let's say that all those students and the people in your class were all on the Titanic together, and they happen to be survivors. Well, you know, they have something in common. All of them have something in common. And you're right. It's facing the world with a disability when they get out of school and they're on their own. And so the more they can be united and understand that they're survivors of the same sinking ship, you know, in my Titanic.
You must have been
example.
In class with me today. It's kind of how we talked.
Well, you know, I think we're, as your birthday alludes to, you know, the good news and the bad news is a little bit older, a little bit wiser. You know, we probably made those mistakes before and just found out that
oh
it holds
goodness.
Us up
yeah.
and it isolates us and polarizes us and it does not empower us, but actually working as a we, you know, and we learn, you and me, you know, we learn that together.
Us working together.
Once,
right.
once again, you know, when we started here, you know, that when we work together as a team, as hosts, when we started out with 7 hosts in the beginning and for
mm-hmm.
the most part, all but one. You know, we're working together. Well, it's actually a good example because all of those that were working together gave each other confidence and empowerment and came to each other's shows and supported each other and did all of this, you know, stuff. And the person who was the fly in the ointment, if you will, who was had an argument or a criticism or a judgment about everything, separated himself from the group and the group separated from him because, you know, everybody's wanting validation and support and we want to know, you know, I mean, when I say if we're doing a good job or not, I mean, like, I'll qualify that by saying that each and every one of us, except the guy who started our place, we all made every possible mistake that could be made that first year.
So I think there's some beyond possibly made.
Well, yeah,
I remember. It was crazy.
I know. So I'm like, even I'm not even talking about being the best at something or the greatest at something. I'm giving credit for the try, you know, for the try.
Exactly.
And if you do the try, then getting support, like I said, from your teammates, whether those are people you work with or fellow students or other people on a team, no matter what it is, if
exactly.
you are able to get that support, it's empowering and it gives you more confidence to keep trying. You know, if everybody in the beginning, you know, if Craig wouldn't have been who he was and he would have criticized and browbeat us for every mistake we made, we probably would have gone and crawled in a hole and never tried again.
Yeah.
We never would have tried.
I probably would have never gone back.
There might have been a lot of, and it might have extended beyond radio. It might have devastated our confidence. And if more of the people in the beginning were like the one was, if more than half were that way, same thing, you know, whether it was the boss or a larger percentage of the group. So it was a really good thing for you to instill that in people while they're students, because that's a lesson if you go a step further with them, and I'm sure you did, is that, you know, you learn that lesson here in a supportive environment.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you like the, like you said, whether you like the teacher or not, that person is getting paid to be your mentor right now, you know, and you can
yeah.
take what you like and leave
exactly.
the rest as far as what they have to say. Use the tools that work for you, and the ones that don't, you don't. You know, I guess you've got some latitude. You do have a brain. You can use it. But you got to at least listen to what's going on and work together and have a discussion about it together amongst you.
Exactly. If not, we'll
realize,
all fall apart.
You know, realize you're on the same team, because that's going to be a lesson you're going to take with you after school into the workplace, into interpersonal relationships that you have, you know, with members of the opposite sex, loved ones, family, jobs.
Everything, yeah.
That same dynamic, you know, is going to go everywhere. So if you can get that lesson back in school, it's just so valuable. It saves you a lot of time and mistakes and heartache to just get it there. I mean, look at it. You're talking about a class, you know, and I'm talking about, you talked a minute about it, but, you know, our country is called the United States.
My boy needs more United than ever.
You know, for the last few years, we've been anything but our title, you know, and I think we need to go back to our title and understand it's not a agreed match, you know, in the corporate arena, you know, and I'm not for socialism. I'm not proposing that. I'm just saying, if you make $10 million, you can afford to pay your employees a living wage, and they can be Americans. This is America, and Americans need jobs, you know, and then I guess my whole philosophy is something I learned in a popular support group I've been in for over 3 decades, and that you can't give away
mm-hmm.
something you haven't got. So if our country doesn't
yeah.
have it, we can't afford to give it away. You know, we just simply can't afford to give it away if we can't do it, have it ourselves. So we need to have our
yeah.
own citizens off the streets from being homeless. We have to have our own citizens be able to get a job that'll help them keep a roof over their head.
And especially our people with disabilities, get them the opportunity
yes.
to do that. Because
absolutely.
All these organizations that are created for us, if it's not about us, nothing without us, about it. How's it go? I'm trying to say it. That's because I've had a headache today. Nothing about us without us. That's what I was trying to say. That's a saying that I learned when I attended April, which is All Independent Living, big conference for the whole country. And
mm-hmm.
they're all about people with disabilities. If you're going to do something, don't leave us out. We want equal rights. We want equal treatment. We want equal pay. We don't want extra pay. We don't want lower pay. We want the same pay. We want the same opportunities, not more opportunities, not less opportunities. It's equal rights for people with disabilities, and it should be known by all these agencies that take the money and run.
Well, and you know,
many.
Something we've been hearing a lot about the last few years, you know, racism, sexism, gender issues, blah, blah, blah. You haven't heard a lot
yeah.
about putting disabilities on that same line, people with disabilities. And my point being, the great leveler, as I've been saying, is brain injury, and the numbers, they come in all colors, all religions, all sexual persuasions, everything that, you know, has been under the banner of woke or whatever for the last couple of years. You haven't heard disability added on the same line when it permeates every one of the other categories. And so, you know, while the iron is hot, I think especially in Awareness Month, we should be talking about that a little bit, because we've been hearing nothing but, like I said, racism, gender issues, sexism, all of those isms, but I never hear disability mentioned along with those, and yet it affects all of those groups. So, you know, that's a time when I guess I'd like to know what's behind their campaign. I know what's behind Christabel's song, because she sings it.
Yeah.
But beyond the title of that campaign, what are they meaning? What are they doing to empower the people that are the survivors?
I hate to say it, but it's for fundraising. That's how I feel. I don't care if I'm making anybody mad tonight, because I'm mad about it. I'm really angry that all these years I devoted thousands of hours to helping with them. I've gone to conferences. I've gone to Washington, D.C. I've met with Susan Connors herself. She actually knows who I am. I mean, I'm not saying I'm somebody on her top list, but she knows me. She said, hey, Les Paul, as soon as I got to Washington, she knows me. But I consider the professional survivors, not professional survivors, professional association. And I'm saying that, not liking saying that, but I'm just being honest, because I've had people literally tell me, well, it's for the professionals. That's why it's that. And I really think that more like, the only reason I mention Walton Hopkins is not to promote them or anything, but independent living in general and the Community Living Administration, all of that, they're all part of ACL, which is part of the big picture of disability rights, and it's led by some of the top disability leaders in the country. And they're fighting very hard, but it's hard to when you don't have a lot of money and your nonprofits all over the place.
Yeah, but look at the ones that are nonprofits also that have a whole lot of money. I know I applaud Walton Options is at least giving survivors something. They're giving them tools. They're giving them direction. They're giving them resources. They are interfacing with survivors. You know, they're not educating business people or whatever you said they told you.
Do educate business people to help get jobs for people with disabilities, or to get them to put in ramps, or to get them to understand what accessibility is about. We have things like that that go on
exactly.
Like that.
Exactly, and that's good. You know, and making those things into law, you know, that was super important. And then it's just that they don't always observe the law, and it's just like with in sports safety protocols or whatever. ADA, you know, you can put anything on paper, but it's got to be able to have teeth that, you know, when someone is an offender and they're not helping and they try to crawl through a loophole and blame it on something else, the survivors have to know and be able, and most of the time they can't afford an attorney. You know, it's a real trap. The ADA is a great thing, but unless you can find, like, an ACLU sort of place that's going to be able to do litigation for you, then you can't afford to find an attorney to to get the law
well, we have
some
some
great
people,
person got put on the books, you know, to put the teeth in
we
it.
We have some attorneys that work with us that do it verbatim, you know, free. Just if the person doesn't have any money, they'll do that. But it's there's not a lot to do that. But there are some really wonderful people that do that. I wanted to say, you know, I didn't say much past Houston. We've got a problem. And this one's one for you, too. Think about this one. No more head games. Kind of ties in with everything we've been talking about. The head games. No, it's not just a song by, I forgot who sings it. Who sings Head Games? Foreigner. The band Foreigner.
Mm-hmm.
Head Games.
I remember.
Da, 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 da. Head Games, that one. I had to actually sing a little piece of it to get it in my head. Now it won't quit playing. But I meant, you know, we live in this 2022, this imaginary set of numbers that people think, keep thinking, okay, the world has finally arrived. We're finally here. We're never going to be there unless we really work together as teams and build a lot of teamwork. And that's the part where I don't want it to be just brain injury. I want it to be all people with disabilities working together and still being a brain injury a support group and still being a spinal cord injury support group, but also at times teaming up together for each other. And I think there needs a lot more of that because there's, I think it's changed to 57 million people with disabilities in America now. It's probably a lot more than that, but I saw it the other day. And if we all came together as a large group on some of these things, it would really throw Congress and all the senators off if they were to see how many millions and millions of people came to say, we're not voting for you anymore. I don't care what party you are, what you stand for, we need to know what your issues are for people with disabilities and how you can help us get our fair shake in life. You know? That's kind of what
yeah.
I mean about that. And
I
typed community inclusion for all. We've kind of talked about that. And it's just a shame that there are groups of people. I met a group of people this week that they said, well, I've got to go ask permission if I can go outside. And they don't let you go outside? Well, they won't right now. This person has a disability, and he's working for this company that wouldn't let him go outside. He worked for a store. I've known this guy for many years. He said, Les Paul, don't leave. Please, I want to talk to you. And when we were talking, the manager came over and said, is he bothering you? I said, no, he's my friend. He's your friend? Yes. Okay, you can talk to him for a few minutes. But he just wanted to talk to me. He saw me coming into a store that we were shopping at. And it just, like, wow. If I was working, they'd say, okay, keep on working, Morgan, but you can talk to him for a few minutes or something. But you could see the different treatment that this person was getting. And he was apologizing for them. And I said, no, I apologize for him acting that way to you. You didn't do anything wrong to the guy I was talking to. And that's one of the head games they play. And the lack of inclusion for some people. I didn't mean to hush you up like that, but...
No, I'm not. I'm listening. I'm giving you a chance to talk on your show. I've blabbed on for quite a while, so I was just letting
well,
you've
helped
spin
me
it
by
out.
Doing that because I'm in a lot of pain tonight because of what happened with my back and everything, but it's not that bad. I mean, after having brain surgery and having this, it's like a piece of cake compared to what I had there. And people a lot of times don't understand this word, but it's one of my favorite words, equality. And that's because there's equality rights for people with disabilities or disability rights. I changed the way I worded that from the regular way because it usually says disability rights or equal rights. I changed it to equal rights for people with disabilities or disability rights. And people need to think of that. The civil rights movement that Dr. King started many years ago was about freedom for all people. all of race and colors, everything. Well, the independent living movement, the only reason I'm mentioning it again is because it's based on treating people fairly throughout life, and it's very hard to find that in many places. And I mean, in normal society, whatever the word normal is, because there's no such thing as normal, I don't believe anymore after seeing life this far.
Yeah.
It's just like, wow, what happened? What happened to good old let's talk and chat a while instead of argue and fight? And that's one of the things that really bothers me a lot. When I see people not willing to talk, you know, live life and be happy. Don't worry, be happy, like the song that came to mind.
Yeah.
And just my final quick statement I made was, and this is a serious one, and you might say, that's nothing, that's fluff. Your dream is your reality, and I put in capital letters, make it happen, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. And it has to be your reality for it to happen. And so many people, yeah, what should I do, Les? What should I do? You know all this stuff. I said, no, you don't understand. I learn from you. You make a lot of good suggestions. I was telling a student that today. You had a lot of good suggestions today. He's having a lot of really good ones. We're asking what they wanted to be when they go to work, when they leave school. And a lot of different questions were asked. And this one guy was telling me he wanted to be a pastor. I said, well, that's nice. He said, the world's gone so crazy, I'm going to preach. And I said, okay, whatever you want to do, go for it. But go for it with gusto and don't look back and make it happen. And another one raised her hand. She said, I want to have my own hair salon. I said, okay. She said, but first I want to be a beautician, and then I'll have my own hair salon. Dream big, don't ever stop, but look at the ground and start with your feet running, because it's going to be hard. And if you're not doing your lessons here in class, that's a mistake, because every day you have left, it should be a day you should study, study, study. And I didn't always do that either. But I wish I could go back in time and tell my teachers, I'm sorry I was late coming to class. No, Mr. Morgan, you weren't late. You weren't interested. Oops, I'm sorry. You know, sometimes it was bullying in school, and I see it sometimes for the kids. But every choice we make, we have to live with and move forward. And the big thing I'd like to say about it is keep trying. Don't let your mistakes be your end game. I talked to one student today that says, I believe in trying and trying and trying and trying and trying over and over and over again till I get it right. And I clapped for that guy. I started clapping. I said, that's what I wanted to hear somebody say. That's a positive answer. And so we can look at life and every day and every night is something positive or negative, but what can we do to make it positive or negative? Or what can we do to make things happen to bring our imagination and our dreams to our reality? That's how I view it. Maybe I'm just a crazy old man. Maybe I is, but
I don't think so.
I believe that a lot of people here in America have been untapped. And I'm going to talk about the Ukrainians for a minute. I mean, their leader, I just love how fierce he's been. He hasn't left. You know, a lot of times you'll see where some country's been taken over, the leader takes off and leaves his people, and it's just crushed. His people have fought like crazy to save his country. I can't even put enough to it. It almost chokes me up to say it. I mean, there are people dying right now over there fighting for their freedom, fighting for their rights, and the country of Russia wants to take it away. But they're fighting very, very hard to keep their freedoms. And we need to keep our freedoms here in America because they could be taken too. I believe a lot of them have been taken by all the crazy things that are happening. And, you know, I haven't played a song or anything in a while.
Well, I wanted to tell you something about that that's really weird.
Okay, go ahead.
Ukraine. Yeah, it's
okay.
It's amazing that the people have a will so strong that they weren't threatened. I mean, they are threatened, but I mean, Russia is, you know, we've considered them a tremendous threat, and Ukraine
yeah.
gave up their nuclear weapons at our behest, and so Russia would have seemed like they could have done what they planned and been quite a formidable, no contest kind of force that came in and took it in a few days like they planned on, but it was the sheer will of those people that 3 weeks later are holding them off. And yeah, their leader has been a great unifier and leader for those people, because with all of the civilian places and watching your whole country get destroyed for no good reason, bullying, we've talked about bullying before, Jesus, Russia,
yeah.
Ukraine, look at the difference in the
That's
fact.
Terrible.
I mean,
bullying.
They're destroying places, schools, hospitals, residential living, and, you know, people would get disheartened and maybe be inclined just to
exactly.
not have their city taken apart and risk being killed to bend the knee to Russia, but they haven't done that. And I think their president is a big reason why. You know, he's been a formidable force for that group of people who have strong will anyway, and I think would keep fighting anyway, but individually, you'd kind of start getting discouraged, fearful, and maybe think, you know, I've lost a lot of family members. I saw a guy last night who had gotten shot 7 times defending the place where supplies come in, and he was an opera singer, and he was laying there
mm-hmm.
recovering in the hospital and even sang a bit of a an opera song, a few bars of opera song. So I don't doubt
okay.
that they had the will that we don't seem to have. I admire them.
I think we could learn a lot. Well, the hardships of disability, I believe people with disabilities, if we really thought about it and worked together, I think we could be almost the savior of America. Because we've been through hardships like crazy. We've been through the fight like hell against us. People try to take advantage of us in so many ways. You know, it feels like we've been kicked to the curb a million times over. But that's why they fight, because they've been kicked to the curb and beaten down, and they're not going to let them take their country. I'm proud as hell of them. I'll be honest. They're amazing. I mean, I've never seen a country like them just tear it up and go back. I'm looking at some news on it right now just to see what the latest news is. I'm not telling the latest right here. It says Russian capability. Oh, shoot, something blocked it. Russian combat capability falls below 90%, Pentagon says. That's 11 hours ago. I think it's more than that. I saw a list of airplanes and tanks and drones they have shot down, and there's thousands of them. They found ways to destroy tanks that are amazing. They have this drone that flies with a bomb on it, and it's amazing at destroying their tanks. It's destroyed so many tanks that they're shocked. The top tanks that Russia has, they're called T-80s.
Some pretty cool tools. Razor drone.
Yeah.
Those
mm-hmm.
rocket launcher things.
Yeah.
But the story I was going to tell you, this is something different. This is just
Okay.
An oddity. I'll finish this other thing in a minute. Okay, so Etsy, are you aware of the website Etsy? It's a place where each, okay, so just in case other people don't, it's a place where everything on there is handmade. So it's things that people, individuals are making. Might be wood carving, might be jewelry, could be anything, but they're all things that people are hand making. And I haven't been on it that much. I bought something a real long time ago. I don't remember what. And then you might remember when I got, Gary got me, it was either for birthday or Christmas or something because of Hootie Owl. This guy was making, you know, out of the part of silverware that you hold. He had like mid-1800 silverware, and he was using that part that you hold to make rings that, you know, wrap rings, bracelets, would take two of them.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And there was an odd design. Usually back in the mid-1800s, they were flowers or just a pattern. This particular one, and it was mid-1800s, had an owl pattern on it. And Gary had gotten me the bracelet and the spoon ring for one of the occasions. Okay, so that's two times. So out of boredom, I think it was February 28th. You'll get the idea. It doesn't matter, give or take a day.
Okay.
But February 28th, for whatever reason, I decide to go, because they're emailing me, because I've been there. So now I get an email. I usually just delete it. But I looked on there that day. And I've collected rocks and crystals almost all my life. And I've got them all over the place, inside, outside, whatever. And I saw these beads, and they were called prayer beads. But what I liked about them is, you know, the different chakras, yoga and New Age talks about. Okay, there are like six of them, and they're all a different color, and they all relate to a different part of the body. Anyway, the thing was, I see this necklace, and the beads, six different sections of beads that are different colors, and the beads are made of stone. And then there was a big tassel hanging off the end, and they were called prayer beads. And they would probably attach to whoever works chakras, that kind of prayer beads. But I liked them because of the six colors of stones that the beads were made out of. You know, I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
So whether I wore it as a necklace or hung it over the corner of a picture in our house or whatever, I liked it. It was $20. It wasn't a huge investment, but it was cool. Now, I wasn't thinking, obviously on Amazon we know that products come from all over the world. A couple things that I bought, like my bracelet came from New Hampshire, and whatever I bought once before came from California or Arizona. So usually they take Visa, MasterCard, PayPal, and blah, blah. This particular place only took they only took PayPal. Sorry, I couldn't reach PayPal in my brain.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have PayPal, but Gary does. So I asked him if he would get me this necklace. So he does. He pays for it on his PayPal. And about a couple weeks later, I hadn't gotten it. So like by last week, I hadn't gotten it. And I got back on Etsy, and I wrote to the person, and she said, our supply chain has been
a
bit messed up. And anyway, to make a long story short, I'm just going to tell you that 2 days, this vendor happened to be in Odessa, Ukraine. I didn't notice that when But 2 days after I ordered that necklace, they were invaded by Russia. So,
oh, my goodness. Wow.
When I wrote the person, they were alive and well, and I said, geez,
oh, wow.
I didn't realize where you are. I just admired your work.
That's cool. I'm so sorry,
you know, about what's going on in your country. And she said, well, it has left my possession, and it's trying to make its way with some people to the border. And I may or may not ever get that necklace, but if I do, it's going to be super historical, because can you imagine ordering a necklace and 2 days later having the country get invaded by Russia? And Odessa, oddly, for my order, is on the westmost side on the Black Sea, where there is no border. You got to go all the way across the country to get to a border that would put you in Poland or Romania, because they're on the Black Sea. And I looked it up, and it before, I don't know about now, it looked like a gorgeous city, and coming down from the building, a big, really beautiful historic building was like an ocean walk, you know, where the public could come down and on a walkway and walk around the Black Sea and beautiful gardens, and it was really neat. And so that's what Odessa looks like. And I hadn't heard anything about them being attacked, but the night after I wrote her, and yes, she was okay, and I complimented their president, and she said, I hope you'll be okay in Odessa. And she said, we'll never give up Odessa. And I wished her luck, and that was that. So she was fine that day. And then the next night on the news, I heard that Russia had started shelling Odessa. Now, I don't know where my necklace is in Ukraine, if it's ever going to make it to the border, ever make it to me, I don't know.
It got started.
It did get started. It had left her hands and was on its way. It's just not a real easy way, not easy to get to the border these days in Russia with bombs going off everywhere. So I'm not joking. I'm just saying, isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic?
It is very ironic.
All the places in the planet that this little necklace could be made, that it just happened to be somewhere that was going to be invaded and break into a big war 2 days later. And what's even weirder is the one she showed that was so pretty that I liked, it happened to have a black tassel. Well, I didn't really want a black tassel, so I had written her in the beginning, and what they call the third eye chakra, there's one on top of your head and there's one like right between your eyes, and the color for that is indigo or dark blue, and the third eye relates to your brain. So I asked her if there was any way I could get that necklace with an indigo tassel, third eye color tassel, and she said yes, should restring me one. Well, had I ordered the one as it was, I may have received it, but she took that couple days to restring it the way that I wanted it. She told me she would restring it for me gladly and make me a beautiful mala, is what they're called, and then they were invaded. So anyway, you brought up Ukraine, and I just thought that that's a pretty interesting story.
It is. I'm glad you told that, because I mean, we need to speak about the people of Ukraine. They're going through hell. Vladimir Putin wants to take over their entire country, the only civilized place in the whole country. They've made it a beautiful place, and they love their land. And he wants to take it back from them. It's wrong. And I just wish there was a way to help them more.
I guess there's things I don't understand. I'm not a war strategist. Neither is our president. Sorry. Anyway, I guess what I'm saying is that if you've already given, I don't think anybody wants World War III. But if we've already supplied them with millions of dollars of weapons, we're obviously supporting them. And if our president yelled out that Putin was a war criminal for everybody to hear on every form of media, then it kind of looks like we're leaning towards supporting them and not being neutral. So if that assumption is correct, that thing about the old airplanes, the old MiGs in Poland, if we were to give Poland the nod to let them have those planes and not protecting their airspace, I guess, not putting boots on the ground, but letting them have those planes, I guess I'm not seeing why that's considered the deal breaker, because those are just as offensive tools to use as a defense.
I feel the same way.
You know, the country, for some reason, is saying all the hardware we've given them so far is just for defensive purposes, and that planes would be looked at as
an aggression offensive. Against them.
An aggression. Now, to me, I guess I'm not bright enough to see the difference. They both could be used for defense. They both could be used for aggression. To me.
Well, this is one thing, I'm not afraid to say it, that our current president right now, I think he showed that he's a weakling and Putin is really angry at him. I don't care if it makes anybody mad, they get mad at me. I don't care. I'm sorry. I don't just give a flip right now. I didn't agree with a bunch of things that our previous president did, but he was bold on the military where he threatened people. He said, if you launch this on us, you will receive this on your end, and scared them from firing any weapons. And I know they have a lot of nuclear weapons, and he might be crazy enough to just want to blow up the world. I mean, I don't know. He's really gone off the deep end as far as I'm concerned. And so Putin. And so I think our president, if he would have came in with showing more strength from the beginning instead of weakness, because Russians recognize strength instead of weakness. If you come in there looking strong instead of talking like you're a weakling, you're going to get that. And so it's hurting our foreign policy, in my opinion. That's how I feel about it.
Oh, no, I've thought that all along, and
yeah.
I don't want to get accused of being a Trumpette. I'll just say that I don't believe this would have happened under Trump, because everybody was scared of him being a wild
hare. He's crazy enough,
he'd
launch missiles at him in a second.
Right. You know, nobody knew what he was going to do, so I think that scared him and intimidated him. And when the weak link came in, it was obvious we were showing our flank to the world that we couldn't manage our own country through the pandemic, through the riots, through January 6th, through the immigration policy, through the division in our country. It was pretty obvious to the world, that we were weak in showing our flank. So it was a good time to make this move. They were going to do that. And I agree with you about Putin, too. He had an agenda, and he didn't plan very well. He was so cocksure he could walk in there to this little country and take it over inside of a week, you know, and it would be his, that he is crazy pissed off now because of the resistance he's had and the lack of logistical planning he put in for something more than a week. you know, and his own troops in the meantime. You know, he didn't tell most of them what they were going to do. He lied to them and said that it was a protection thing, trying to save Ukraine from Nazis or something, when the president is a Jew. So, you know, maybe the Russian soldiers wouldn't have figured it out in 4 to 7 days, but 3 weeks later, and mixing, you know, with the people in Ukraine, who were like sister nation, like us in Canada, maybe, you know, kind of a thing. That, you know, a lot of people who live in Ukraine speak Russian or came from Russia and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think a lot of those soldiers want to be blowing up residential neighborhoods and babies and people. And so, you know, the more resistance that Putin gets from
Ukraine. Have you seen them jumping out of tanks
his
running?
Own.
When they point a missile, they're so scared of their missiles because they've destroyed so many of their tanks that now when they see a person with a Stinger missile or whatever the other missile's called, they go running out of their tanks because the tank will blow up from the inside and kill them all. They've learned how to really, the Ukrainians have to take out tank after tank. I watched them take out 10 tanks in like a minute. And the tanks are just running for the woods, trying to hide behind the trees. And the men were running up. They got all of them. And all the soldiers were shot, everything. It was terrible. I was watching it. But they showed how the Ukrainians are not afraid to fight back. And I'm just super proud of that country. And I think they're amazing how their fierce fight and loyalty to their country, and they want to save it. I'd like to see our own country do the same thing, even stronger. You know what I mean? And just be bold. And that's kind of the story about us being independent, us as brain injury survivors. We need to fight like hell to be strong and bold and empower ourselves to do new, bold, and wonderful things, because I guarantee you there are a lot of people with disabilities and brain injuries as a result of this war. I wonder how many people have disabilities besides the ones who have already died from this war. If there's a way to even find out. No?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that his own people will turn on him because, you know, he, like I said, he is getting crazy mad right now. And the sanctions that we put out really amounted to nothing because, you know, Putin went to China and asked for money. Our sanctions were meant to break him. They didn't. They were never going to break Putin. They were going to break the people of Russia.
Yeah.
Putin was going to be fine and rich like they always are, like the leaders always are.
Yeah.
It was the people that was going to, you know, that were going to suffer. And so now they're going to ask China for help, which is undermining all of those big bad sanctions we were giving. If China rescues them from that by giving them money, you know, to make up or buying their oil or whatever they need to do to undermine the sanctions that we put against him to try to make this not happen. Obviously, that was a dismal success, a dismal failure. You know, like our leaving Afghanistan. So I just think we really need to stop this somehow, because each time it looks worse, the performance is worse, not better.
Right.
You know, so I wish we would quit displaying this to the world, you know, and maybe just like seal off our own border, you know.
Yeah.
It's bringing all the fentanyl and the sex trafficking and the diseases that we have. It's not bad enough. We've still got COVID to worry about going into the third year, but things like smallpox, Ebola,
all the diseases that we didn't even think were going to exist anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and they're walking over the border unchecked. You know, at least at Ellis Island, people were getting checked, and if they had a disease, they were either sent back or put in quarantine. And I think one thing that people are really getting sick of, no matter what side of the fence they're on, is that we're expected to meet certain expectations, like during all the mask up stage. And, you know, us having to wear masks and us needing to get vaccines and the citizens being dictated, in different places in the country needing to have carry proof, you know, that you had been vaccinated or you couldn't go eat or go to a movie or, you know, I don't do those things, but other people, American citizens, had to prove, you know, that they had had
exactly
a mandated vaccine, you know, to be able to exercise some pretty basic freedoms like, you know, going out to eat for a hot dog, you know, or something. And yet a couple million people are coming across the border not held to the same rules that our citizens are.
They don't get anything.
And they bring bonus, you know, disease, drugs, violence. Not everybody, but I'm just saying, when you're not checking and a couple million are coming over at a time and we're seeing the sudden spike.
Just come legally, is what I see.
Fentanyl deaths and sex trafficking correspond with when our borders opened, when Biden took over and our borders opened, there was a marked increase. There was always drugs coming over the border. There's always been sex trafficking. But the numbers spiked when we had a changing of the guard and the borders were suddenly opened. And I think people, even if they were all for opening up the border and singing Kumbaya and all that, they're the same people that were told they must get an experimental vaccine. They must wear a mask 59 hours a day, no matter what they do. And they're not able to go out and eat or go to a show or do anything in a lot of states. And they're watching their own politicians going to the country club and parties and shit, not having a vaccine, not having a mask. And they're going, WTF, you know.
And I saw several of those.
Yeah, put all the pieces of the puzzle together and see if that makes you happy no matter how you voted, you know. Should not people breaking the law for their citizenship be not held to the same standard as actual citizens of this country that are paying taxes, that live here, and that are naturalized citizens? Should not everybody be held to the same standard of the citizens, but we're letting people feeling
people should actually be held to the same standard.
Off. You know, it's crazy. I don't even know how anyone can make sense of that. That's what really confuses me,
crazy.
Is I'm the one with the brain injury, and I'm not finding a flaw in my thinking. I'm looking for the way to find holes in my thinking, but I don't get it.
It must be my brain injury, right? It's got to be a glitch in my brain injury that I can't understand, but I still see it. Are you there?
Yes, I am. That was all I had to say.
Okay, I thought
I heard
the phone hiss or something.
No, I spoke harshly about it. It's just the way I feel. I can't, you know, you said something and that's just the way you feel, and I said something and that's the way I feel. I can't make sense of it. I can't make sense of it. You almost get more rights. I mean, if we went to any other country and crossed their border and expected more rights than their people have, I don't think that happens.
If we didn't get shot.
Shot or put in prison or tortured somehow or anything. But I mean, if I decided to go to Italy, you know, if I decided to go to Greece or Spain or any country, I don't really want to go to Colombia or Venezuela or where Ukraine or Russia right now. But, you know, if I went to anywhere else, I wonder if I would be able to vote in their election just because I'm standing on the ground of their country. You know, if I wasn't a citizen and just went there, would I be able to vote? If everybody there had to have a vaccine and wear a mask, could I get away with skipping down the streets without a mask and blowing on people, you know. not having a vaccine passport, if everyone in their country had to have it, would I be able to get away with that anywhere else in the world?
Not taking the shots that everyone else had to take up from childhood on.
Yeah.
The ones we had to have from childhood till now.
Yeah, measles, that's another thing that's coming back. We had to have measles, smallpox. I don't think it's...
I'm trying to think what else.
I don't think it's typhoid. Typhoid and smallpox, maybe smallpox. Meh. Well, typhoid and smallpox were two diseases that were rampant that killed millions of people in our country, but we eradicated those.
Yeah.
You know, with when we got antibiotics and vaccines and things like that. But you're right. We did for sure get measles shot, smallpox shot, and I think something called diphtheria when we were kids were the three that we had to have.
Yeah.
And we might have even had to get a chicken pox thing, but chicken pox you can get again.
I had to have chicken pox, yeah. I know, I've seen that. I didn't realize that until a few years ago. Excuse me, I had a yawn that hit me. I stopped the talk and then I couldn't.
Well, actually, we did good because it's 10 tell and it's been a really good show. I think you've hit on a lot of good points as far as rights and so forth. Do you care if I tell what's going on my show tomorrow?
Sure, go right ahead, yeah. I don't mind.
Thanks. And then I'll shut up and you can close it out. And it was great talking about, it was great talking to you and really good topics raised on your show. And tomorrow, something a little bit different for my show is it's going
to
be broken in half. The first half of the show is going to be a doctor who is looking for participants in the second phase clinical trial for a pill that if, this sounds like the COVID, if somebody were to get a concussion or suspected concussion and take this pill within 5 days, it's, and I'll know more when I've done the interview, it said that this pill would mitigate any damage from the concussion if the pill were taken in the first 5 days, and that people wouldn't go on to suffer the effects of concussion and the degenerative diseases that often come later as the result. So it'll be very interesting to hear this doctor talk about this clinical trial. And it's going on in the Midwest. It's like in the Kansas City area, I believe. But still, you know, if someone wants to take part in the clinical trial or hear about it, everybody's experienced concussion and would probably like, if you want to keep in the know of science that's going on, Dr. Wyan will be my guest in the first hour. And then in the second hour, I have a former athlete of many things, but was a MVP football player in college. And I won't give away his story, but he had many concussions and now has a serious consequence of that. And so we're going to be talking, and because it applied to him, he's done a lot of serious studying about it. So it's a combination of his story and the science that comes behind it. And then last week I had a wonderful guest. If anyone likes boxing or liked boxing or just wants to hear a really good interview, last Wednesday, Ray Cagliani, a former professional boxer, was my guest. And he and his wife, they live in New York, but we've gotten to be really good friends. He's the salt of the earth and has a fantastic story about second impact. And that's if you have a concussion, don't let it heal and go out and get a second one. And he is now suffering from CTE and Parkinson's syndrome. A very interesting show. But the man is the salt of the earth. He's gotten safety protocols passed and spoken, and he found a purpose. He went through the dark hole, we did, but then he came out and found purpose. So last week's interview was Ray, and this week will be Dr. Wyand and then Rico in the second half. And then I guess I would say right now, it's 5 minutes ahead, but you got to close your show. I would say, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Les. Happy birthday to you, number 60, and many more.
I'm only 14 now. I've always said I'm 12. And I put something on you to take us out for, I said that wrong. I put something that you love on to take us out when you're ready to go. It's something you love. You told me you did. It's only for you just because of this day. What would it be?
Oh, it's the song you made and sang.
Yes, it is. It's called You're the One for Me. That's what it's called. So this is the one for you, Kim.
Thank you so much, and have a great birthday, Les, and thanks for the show. And thanks for playing.
Thank you very much.
Great song. This is Les Paul singing,
all right,
everybody.
Here we go, everybody. And good night. And we're just minutes from my birthday, but we'll end it on this. Good night, everyone. Oh, I'm trying to get it to start. There it goes.